Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Return by Hisham Attar is a Pulitzer Prize-winning work of literary nonfiction that chronicles a son's search for truth after decades of political violence and personal uncertainty. Centered on Attar and his family, the book follows his return to Libya after the fall of Muammar Gaddafi, driven by the unresolved disappearance of his father, a prominent dissident who was abducted and imprisoned years earlier. Moving between memoir, history, and travel writing, Attar examines what it means to live with absence and how private grief intersects with a nation's shattered public life. The narrative explores exile and homecoming, the fragile hope that accompanies political change, and the moral complexities of seeking answers in a country emerging from dictatorship. With careful attention to memory, language, and the texture of everyday encounters, Attar offers an intimate portrait of loss while also illuminating the broader human costs of authoritarian rule and the long afterlife of fear. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a son's quest and the weight of disappearance. At the heart of the book is the unresolved fate of Matar's father, whose disappearance shapes the author's inner life and his family's decisions for years. Rather than presenting the story as a simple investigation, the narrative shows how uncertainty becomes its own condition, influencing identity, relationships, and the ability to imagine the future. Attar traces how a missing parent can remain intensely present through memories, rumors, letters, and the emotional patterns that develop in response to trauma. The search for information is portrayed as both necessary and perilous, because every new detail can reopen wounds or create false hope. This topic also highlights the ethical strain of pursuing personal answers in a context where many others have suffered similar losses, often without resources or global attention. Attar's approach emphasizes the psychological reality of ambiguous loss, a grief that cannot resolve because confirmation never arrives. In doing so, the book examines how families adapt, how they keep living while holding on to possibility, and how the desire to know can coexist with the knowledge that certainty may never come. Secondly, exile, belonging, and the complicated idea of home, The Return explores exile not only as a geographic separation, but as a lifelong condition that reshapes perception. Attar has lived outside Libya for much of his life, and the book examines how distance can preserve an idealized image of a place while also eroding familiarity. When he returns, he confronts the gap between remembered Libya and the country that exists after decades of dictatorship and conflict. This tension produces a layered sense of belonging, where language, customs, and family history pull him toward home, yet the realities of political instability and social fragmentation complicate any easy reunion. The narrative pays attention to how exile affects family dynamics, including the roles of parents and children, when safety depends on leaving, and how a person learns to carry multiple identities without fully settling into one. Attar also shows how home can be both a physical location and a moral commitment, a responsibility to witness, to remember, and to engage with the truth of what happened. The result is a nuanced depiction of return as an act filled with hope, fear, and the quiet sadness of what cannot be recovered. Thirdly, Libya under dictatorship and the aftermath of revolution. Matar's personal story unfolds against Libya's modern political history, particularly the brutality of Gaddafi's regime and the uncertain period following its collapse. The book illuminates how authoritarian power infiltrates daily life through surveillance, intimidation, and the normalization of silence. Political violence is shown not only in prisons and interrogations, but in the way people learn to censor themselves, distrust neighbors, and measure every word. When the revolution changes the country's surface reality, Attar depicts a society struggling to rebuild institutions, establish accountability, and create a shared narrative of what was endured. The return to Libya becomes an opportunity to observe a nation in transition, where optimism collides with chaos, and where new freedoms arrive alongside new dangers. This topic also emphasizes the difficulty of justice after mass repression, including the challenges of documentation, the reliability of testimony, and the emotional toll of confronting past crimes. By interweaving individual encounters with broader historical context, the book offers readers a grounded sense of what political transformation feels like from within, and why the end of a dictatorship does not automatically deliver clarity or peace. Fourthly, memory, storytelling, and the search for truth. A major theme in The Return is the role of memory in shaping truth when official records are incomplete or deliberately destroyed. Attar shows how families and communities assemble narratives from fragments, including conversations, documents, photographs, and the recollections of those who survived. Yet memory is portrayed as both a source of meaning and a terrain of uncertainty, because trauma can distort recall and because people sometimes protect themselves through selective forgetting. The book explores storytelling as a form of resistance, a way to reclaim humanity in the face of a system designed to erase individuals. At the same time, Attar is careful about the limits of what can be known, acknowledging how rumor and hope can masquerade as evidence. This topic highlights the author's method of patient inquiry, listening, and reflection, demonstrating how truth-seeking can be as much about moral seriousness as about factual discovery. By emphasizing the act of narration itself, the book invites readers to consider how personal and national histories are written, who gets to speak, and what is lost when silence is imposed. Ultimately, the narrative suggests that seeking truth is a practice, sustained by attention, humility, and the refusal to accept erasure. Lastly, grief, love, and the bonds that survive political violence. While the book is deeply political, its emotional core lies in the portrayal of family love and the long arc of grief. Matar examines how a family endures when a father is taken, when safety requires separation, and when time stretches uncertainty into decades. Grief appears not only as sorrow, but as a complex set of responses that includes resilience, anger, tenderness, and the desire to protect one another from further harm. The narrative gives weight to small acts of care, the ways relatives keep a missing person present, and the courage required to live without closure. This topic also considers the humanizing power of empathy, showing how encountering other families affected by imprisonment and disappearance expands the author's understanding of his own loss. Political violence is revealed to be intimate in its consequences, altering how people trust, how they plan, and how they express affection. Yet the book also suggests that love can persist as a form of continuity, offering a thread of meaning when institutions fail. By focusing on relationships and inner life, Matar demonstrates that the personal costs of repression are not abstract, and that healing, when possible, often begins with truthful recognition and shared remembrance. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers of memoir and literary nonfiction, as well as anyone interested in modern Middle Eastern history, human rights, and the lasting effects of authoritarian rule. It will especially resonate with people who have experienced exile, family separation, or unresolved loss, because it treats grief with honesty while avoiding easy resolutions. The Return can benefit a reader's life by deepening empathy and sharpening moral attention, showing how political events enter private lives and how a person can continue seeking truth without surrendering to bitterness. It also offers a thoughtful model of how to hold complexity, acknowledging uncertainty, and still choosing to witness, remember, and act with care. Compared with many books about revolutions or dictatorships, this one distinguishes itself through its intimate perspective and its literary precision, connecting historical transformation to the emotional reality of one family. It is worth buying because it functions on multiple levels: a personal homecoming, a meditation on memory and justice, and a clear-eyed portrait of a country in transition. Readers looking for both human depth and political insight will find it unusually lasting. If you would like to support Hisham Matar, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.